Hi, it's Dave. So Elon Musk has been getting Person of the Year awards left and right. A few days ago, it was from Time Magazine, and yesterday it was from Financial Times. In this video, I want to dive into the interview that Financial Times did with Elon Musk. This hasn't been covered that much, but I think there's a lot of great information here. I'll link to the article that shares the interview highlights in the video description below. All right, first off, Elon says in this interview, for a long time, the rest of the auto industry is basically calling Tesla and me fools and frauds. They were saying electric cars wouldn't work. You can't have the range and performance. And even if you did, no one would buy them. I think Elon here is highlighting actually the significant work that Tesla has done. Tesla has completely revolutionized what an electric vehicle is and signifies. Now, an electric vehicle proven by Tesla can be better than an IC car at the same price point, and it's just a fun car to drive as well. Further, Elon and Tesla has kind of lit the fire under the pants of the entire IC auto industry, and now there's a mad scramble, right, from a lot of automakers to try to make electric vehicles. Number two, Elon says that he felt that the National Transportation Safety Board pursued press headlines over real safety. That's obviously something I do not respect, nor should be respected. It's certainly possible for some asshat to compile the handful of times that I've disagreed with regulations, write a story, and make it sound as though I'm some like madman shooting from the hip. At no point am I suggesting that any regulatory agency be disbanded or anything like that. I'm not sort of madcap libertarian. All right, so here's Elon voicing some critique on some regulatory bodies like the NTSB. However, NHTSA seems to have a much higher kind of regulatory status, and I think this is going to kind of set up a battle in the future. You already have Missy Cummings appointed, a critic of Tesla's autopilot, to become a senior advisor of NHTSA. And I think there's a lot of high stakes involved. And I think this issue of, yeah, the fairness of regulatory bodies is going to be something that comes up in the future as well. All right, number three, the Financial Times, they ask if Elon's bad boy, I'm not sure about that, Twitter persona is part of some elaborate marketing plan. And he says, he laughs at the question. He says, I mean, are you not entertained? I'm not saying I don't make foolish tweets. Of course I do. There are times when I shoot myself in the foot. And you know, on balance, it's entertaining and interesting, informative, whatever. I think it kind of highlights here Elon's risk-taking attitude. Most billionaires, especially those with, you know, $100 billion or more, look at Bill Gates or Larry and Sergey or, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, et cetera, they're not necessarily putting themselves out there on social media at risk of making huge mistakes. And that's what Elon is doing on a daily basis. That's part of, I think, his persona, and he's being true to that. He's willing to take the risk because he sees the benefit. He wants to entertain. He wants to connect. Like, what's the point of, you know, having hundreds of billions of dollars if you're just kind of an isolated billionaire, not really, you know, connecting and doing something for people? All right, number four. The thing that people who don't work with me don't understand is that I'm first and foremost an engineer. How have Tesla and SpaceX succeeded when other companies have far more resources and money than I do? The problem is they can't hire me. He also says a dedication to engineering excellence and a focus on important challenges has been critical to attracting top engineering talent. All right, so here Elon is actually highlighting some of the unique things that he brings to the table. First, he is extremely focused on solving problems from an engineering and physics standpoint. And he's instituted this priority of problem solving through engineering from the top of the organization all the way to the bottom of the organization. And he proves it day in and day out by getting into meetings and actually hashing out the details with engineers. Typical CEOs now, they don't usually get involved in the weeds, right, of engineering and the actual product, et cetera. They're usually relegated to management, right, strategy, high-level thinking, et cetera. But Elon here is bucking the trend, and I think it's a really unique model that he's setting up that I think other companies, probably future generations, right, of innovators and entrepreneurs can emulate to some degree. All right, number five, Musk says he spends 7 days and 80 to 90 hours a week bouncing between the most critical projects at Tesla and SpaceX. It's not like I arbitrarily try to micromanage. I'm actually involved in triage. What is the most useful thing that I can do? And I'm very good at technology and engineering. Everyone's got their talents. That's one of mine. I can't sing or dance, but I can do that. I don't think there's a lot of people who would actually want to trade places. I aim to work as long as I'm able to work and be productive and contribute. That is my nature. I would like to work a little bit less, and that would be nice. All right, here Elon is describing kind of his work ethic and his strategy. He's actually focused on fixing the biggest bottleneck, right, at that time with his companies in the quickest way. He's trying to move progress, the pace of innovation faster, get to certain goals, and he's trying to, unplug the bottlenecks, and he'll get in the weeds to do that. He is good at problem solving, and that's what he does on a daily basis. He's good at technology and engineering. And he's also saying that, he's not interested in retiring. Right? His nature is to be productive and to contribute. Yeah, and it makes sense. Elon is doing what he's doing because of his convictions. All right, number six, he says Bezos has a reasonably good engineering aptitude, but he does not seem to be willing to spend mental energy getting into the details of engineering. The devil's in the details. In some ways, I'm trying to goad him into spending more time at Blue Origin so that they make more progress. As a friend of mine says, he should spend more time at Blue Origin and less time in the hot tub. All right, so there you have it, right? The two richest people in the world, and they've been having some type of qualms or, you know, rivalry on Twitter. But Elon is just saying, actually, he has actually good intentions in some ways. He wants to see Blue Origin succeed. And most people, however, in Elon's position would not want that to happen. They see competition as a zero-sum game. But Elon is smart. He sees competition as good. He'd rather see Blue Origin do well. That would propel everyone, an entire industry, forward. But of course, Blue Origin needs to do it in a fair way, right? Not just using lawsuits. All right, number seven. He says, I am confident we don't need new physics for a Starship, but it is just a staggeringly difficult technical problem. I sometimes wonder if it is actually within the ability of humans to do this. I know that it can be done, but it remains to be done. Bankruptcy is not out of the question, so we should not be complacent or entitled. Yeah, so here's Elon. He's talking about his crazy ambitious goals, right? To use Starship as the main vehicle for, you know, to make a civilization on Mars. He's not talking about just sending a few humans to Mars. He's talking about massive amounts, like thousands and thousands of humans. And he's being realistic with the difficulty and actually with the risks involved. I think, however, with Elon doing well with his Tesla stock, I think it radically reduces the risk at hand in terms of SpaceX's survival, because Elon can always sell, right, access Tesla stock to fund SpaceX if it goes through trouble. All right, number eight, Elon says, I didn't think we would have to solve a significant part of artificial intelligence to make FSD work. But he adds that he is now 99.9%, rounded up to 100%, confident full self-driving will work. It is just a question of when. All right, first off, it seems like Elon is a tiny bit less confident than, you know, a year or two ago, where he said, like, yeah, for sure it's going to happen this year, full self-driving, level five even. But now he's 99.9%. I don't want to read too much into it. Overall, I think FSD is making huge progress. Every day I use it. And just like, you know, several months ago, it wasn't as useful as it is today. It's just becoming a very, very kind of useful driving aid on local streets. And I'm actually super appreciative of it. All right, number nine, Financial Times asks if he's misled Tesla's customers about self-driving technology at a potential risk of their safety. He says, I haven't. Read what it says when you order a Tesla. Read it. Read what it says when you turn it on. It's very, very clear. And then he points to Tesla's safety, high safety ratings, and NASA's willingness to entrust its astronauts to SpaceX rockets. And he adds, I don't think there's a CEO on this planet that cares more about safety than me. And yeah, I actually agree. I think the entire kind of foundation of Tesla's product design revolves around safety. That's not an easy thing to do. This is one of the reasons why I think Tesla's vehicles are the safest out there. And I think actually with FSD beta, it's being rolled out in a measured way, a controlled way. No complaints here. Number 10, Elon also bristles at criticism that his forecasts have sometimes turned out to be overly optimistic. The predictions that I make that come true or are ahead of time don't get attention. And the predictions that I make that are late to get a lot of attention. As examples of the former, he says the company's giant battery factory in Nevada has far exceeded expectations, and that Tesla's production of the Model S reached more than double what it projected at the time of its IPO. Yeah, I agree here with Elon. There's a lot of things that actually have worked out even better than I think Elon and Tesla anticipated. Just look at the Model 3 and the Model Y. These cars are revolutionizing their market segments, and Tesla is just on an absolute tear with these new factories, just, you know, spitting them out within a year, year and a half, from breaking ground to production. I think this year is going to be fantastic with the 4680 cells that they're ramping, with the single piece castings and just the more efficient factories. Further, if you look at Autopilot, right, it's been not just extremely useful and it's gotten so good on the freeways, but the entire kind of AI development of Tesla, where they've really built a full stack AI team and have almost restructured their entire company as an AI company. This is something unexpected, you know, even 5 years ago. All right, number 11, Elon says, I think people are somewhat oblivious to just how much progress China is making. It's incredible. He compares it to the wave of Japanese imports that happened in the 1980s and 90s. I think we will see something similar with the Chinese car companies. The work ethic, just the sheer number of hardworking, smart people in China is a wonder to behold, both amazing and slightly scary, and they're going to get things done. So yeah, a few things on this. First, Tesla Shanghai has been progressing much better and faster than people have expected. They've got a robust local supply chain there. Over time, Tesla has built that up and has shifted to that. They've got a lot of skilled workers. And I think a lot of the environment has really helped Tesla to be successful in Shanghai. And this relates to Chinese car companies. They're able to take advantage of the great workforce, the skilled workforce, the robust supply chain, super efficient, just construction, et cetera. And I think the Chinese car companies are some of the most ambitious car companies out there next to Tesla. I think it will take a while for them, let's say, to ramp in new countries like the US or Europe, et cetera. But I think if they can get economies of scale first in China and they can improve quality, get their margins up, et cetera, then they will be a force to be reckoned with. And the question is, yeah, when will XPeng or NIO build their first US factory? Now that's gonna be interesting. All right, overall, I think, yeah, this was a fun interview. I kind of wish though that Financial Times would not just put an article out regarding the interview, but it would actually release the full video, because I think there's a lot of nuance and a lot of context that's not available when they kind of chop up, right, an article. Second off, I wish that Elon would have dived further into the specifics on what separates his companies from other companies, how he manages it, like what's the culture and, you know, what's his day-to-day, what he focuses on meetings, and a little bit more details on how he triages things. Overall, I think this interview was a great example of Elon kind of and his laser focus, right, on these super audacious goals with space and climate change, et cetera. He's really wanted to push forward the progress of humanity, and he's doing it through these companies that are focused and kind of almost a new structure in a sense of modern day company that's completely focused on problem solving, on engineering from the top to the bottom. Yeah, it's definitely fascinating things we're watching firsthand. All right, I hope this has been helpful. If it has, go ahead, like, and subscribe. All my videos can be found as an audio podcast. Just search for Dave Lee on investing in your favorite podcast player. I'm also on Twitter at HeyDave7. All right, we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.